Hallelujah. Almighty Saviour. Well, praise God, we're continuing in Ephesians. Praise the Lord. And we're still with this, our greatest need, and it seems like every week so far there's been another greatest need. But the Lord is wanting to get to our hearts with this. This week, maybe this week and the next, the greatest need, our greatest need that we have, is God's love. Amen. Is to know, to be touched by, to experience, to dwell in, to abide in God's love. And so let's read this. Chapter 3 of Ephesians, if you remember, starting verse 14. For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. In the inner man. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And this is the bit we want to look at this week. That you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus, to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Praise God. Amen. So we're looking at rooted and grounded in love. Rooted and grounded in God's love. Amen. Praise God. Now, obviously an agricultural term, speaking of, by analogy, a tree that is rooted and grounded in God's love.
Yes.
Now, obviously how that applies spiritually, this is speaking of abiding in the vine, where the root, which is not only like a food store, a food supply, that enables the plant to gain all the moisture and the necessary food that it needs from the ground, but it also a great anchoring. It provides stability. Yes. And this is what the Lord is honing in on, I believe, in our lives, where we go through what we go through. It's to bring about those two things primarily, that stability, that anchoring in him. We're stable, we're set, we're established, mm-hmm. once those roots are established, but also that ability to dig deep with those roots, to feed on him, that no matter what we go through, we're drawing our strength, our life from his love, rooted and grounded in love. It's interesting, isn't it? It doesn't say rooted and grounded in truth, which, praise God, we are. Rooted and grounded in faith, and praise God for that. But he's talking about love. We are rooted and grounded in love, in God's love, in God who is love, and that love comes through us to others. And I want to look at some of the ways in which we're rooted and grounded in love. And along with that, because we're not just taking messages simply from words on a page, but what the Spirit is saying to us at this time, in being rooted and grounded in God's love and showing that love one to another, I believe, if I'm hearing correctly from the Holy Spirit, and I'm in tune as well with what I believe a lot of us are going through at this time in the assembly, we're crying out for those deep touches from Almighty God. Just as those trees, by way of analogy, going through their various seasons, touched, if you like, by the rain, by sun, by what they experience, we're going through some things that I believe God is preparing, and what he's saying to us is that we have not because we ask not. And he's getting us to that place where such a cry goes before him that cannot be denied, reaches up to the heavens, for those touches, and those touches being that change of heart, that change, that deliverance.
Yes.
Praise God, because we're all seeking change. What God is looking for is fruit. And if we're honest, at times, the fruit hasn't always been there. So what are we doing? Are we going to get condemned? Are we going to give up? But no, we're going to cry out to God for that change, because Jesus himself said, apart from him, we can do nothing. So we're coming to our wit's end. We're coming to an end of ourselves. We're coming to any thought that we can bear fruit in and of ourselves and our own strength. And we're crying out to God. We're asking for those deep touches, that deep change in our heart, that deliverance. So that, praise God, that fruit, that the Holy Spirit, but the fruit of the Spirit, that fruit flows. It's not something we strive at. Because it's all part of the same tree. Whether you're talking about the will, the intellect, the spirit, the heart of man, the affections. God doesn't really divide man up. That's developed over the years. The pagan Greek philosophy and the psychology divides man up. But God doesn't. There are different aspects, praise the Lord. But basically, in Christ, if we're in Christ, we are new creations. And we looked at that last time. Those that are in Christ are one spirit with the Lord. And so that spirit, his spirit, must flow through ours. There's no difference. The will, we will to do God's will, because that is the affection of our heart. We have the mind of Christ, and our thought processes, what we would call the intellect, is willingly, happily subjected to the Holy Spirit. So by his grace, by his working, we're thinking his thoughts. We have the mind of Christ. Our way of thinking is what he is presenting to us, not our own ideas. And that word, that engrafted word, which is able to save us, save our lives, that word engrafted into us is producing fruit. Because it's the word that's working effectually in us, helps us believe, but also produce that fruit. We're going to look at some scriptures now within this. This is all God's doing. This is the blessing of redemption. You know, we're and rightly so, we're wanting these healings, we're wanting these deliverances, we've received it, we're wanting all the things that we've read about that we know God has promised. But dear friends, it comes rooted, grounded in love, in his love, but feeding off that word. There are many ways in which God touches us. Do you know, theology touches me. I am touched by God's word. Theology is truth. It's just truth. But it mustn't be an intellectual exercise. When we study, for example, the keys to the kingdom, and what is the church, it's not so that we've got a diploma, an intellectual, I know what the church is now, and I know what the kingdom is. The question is, now that I've heard that message, do I know, praise God, that I am a disciple? Do I know that I am in the kingdom? Am I in the body of Christ? Am I functioning in the place that God has given me? Now that I know what the church is, or think I know, point is, am I experiencing, am I abiding in that vine? Is the fruit in my life, am I actually fulfilling the purpose, that wonderful, that glorious, redemptive purpose for which God placed me in his body?
Yes.
That's the point of it. You know, it's a revelation, it's a personal relationship, redemptive revelation. Do I know that I am a citizen of the kingdom of God? Have I seen the kingdom, or do I still think in terms of the world, the spirit, this age? Am I still thinking denominationally? Do you know what I mean? This is what this is about. So praise God. With that in mind, that God touches through his word, he touches by his presence, he touches by the Holy Spirit is doing that. Just as Jesus in the Gospels, he would lay hands and that person would be healed, he would speak the word or whatever. When Jesus touches a life, that life changes. He never leaves a person as he found them. when he forgives, he touches by his love, he touches by his grace, his mercy, that actual healing touch. But now he's touching by his word. His spirit is now fulfilling in and through us what he did in the Gospels, what he purchased for us at Calvary. The spirit now, whatever Jesus did then, he's now doing in terms of the resurrection and ascension. It's the Holy Spirit now fulfilling what the Father wills for our redemption.
Amen.
Praise God, and it's in and through you and I, friends. So it's not just us, our greatest need is a touch of God's love, sure. But there's a groaning creation out there. They don't know it, they're looking to God, they're groaning, they're waiting on their Creator, they're crying out for a touch too. But who is that touch going to come through?
Mm.
Oh, friends, you and I. Yes, God as well, directly. We're not going to limit anything God does, but he's ordained that it's through the liberty of the sons of God, through our ministry, that they get that touch too.
Mm.
So our greatest need, the body of Christ as well as grown in creation, is a touch from God's love.
Mm.
Now, friends, you know, I took my inspiration when I hear a prophecy. God gave a wonderful prophecy Sunday morning, praise God, about seeking those touches. God immediately alerted me. The Holy Spirit immediately alerted me. Praise God, this is what the Spirit is saying in this season.
Amen.
And I wanted to ask, I wanted to spend some time in prayer, but the Lord knows we can do that individually.
Thank you, Jesus.
Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Wonderful Saviour.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, when that wonderful prophecy came through on Sunday morning, I knew this is what the Holy Spirit was saying to this church, to those, praise God, who are listening to this, but just saying that, you know, it wasn't just a prophecy on Sunday morning. The Holy Spirit, I believe, is encouraging, is working with us now, putting on our hearts to seek to get those touches of God. We need those touches, dear friends, of deliverance, of change. And I believe this is something we need to be seeking God about in prayer, personally, and perhaps as an assembly. But Lord, those touches, those healing, delivering touches, those touches whereby we will begin to bear the fruit of this walk.
Yeah.
Not just the theology of it, praise God for the knowledge. We start somewhere, we start with that. But we need to be seeing the fruit in this walk.
Mm.
Because it can all be very harsh. Now, it is the message of the cross, but if that's all we hear, you know, we're human. We need to be seeing the fruit that comes from this sacrifice, from the cross. And often the things that we think are a sacrifice, well, actually, it's a deliverance. God is, we're letting it go. God is setting us free from it. So let's with that in mind, let's have a look. We're being encouraged this evening that we're rooted and grounded in love to start with. And so therefore, that should be something that we're experiencing, we're seeing, both in this whatever time is left, and in eternity. Now let's start with this. We'll go to Psalm 1. Many ways in which God is touching, causing us to bear fruit. If we start with Psalm 1, again, these are all familiar scriptures, but I want to look at them in this context. Psalm 1. Praise the Lord. Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, there we go, rooted and grounded, that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. So my point here, we're going to be looking at what God does for us, rather than looking at judgment of the ungodly in particular. But there is a blessing on the man who doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. There is a blessing on the separated man who doesn't walk the way of the world, who doesn't go to the spirit of this age for help. God's whole contention with Israel, Yahweh's constant raising up his faithfulness, raising up prophets, not only against idolatry, but it's related. It wasn't only against the fact that they were committing the idolatry of the nations, but they wanted to be like the nations. They turned to the other nations, constantly making treaties and alliances with Assyria, with Egypt. Help me from my enemies. Rather than turning to God, they would turn to Egypt and Assyria, help me, you know. And it ended up in their destruction. The counsel of the ungodly, the wisdom so-called. Now, the scriptures have a lot to say about the counsel of the ungodly. That it's foolishness. That the only wisdom we need is the wisdom of redemption given to us by God himself. But we have to grow into that. That faith, that separation, that consecration takes place legally the minute we're saved. That is now ours. But God has to work that in us, in our experience. And it's that process, it's that aspect that takes trials and time and a lifetime and great patience. Now, God is preparing each one of us for a glorious ministry. If you're going through trials tonight, today, that are hurting you, that are perplexing you, that are exposing fear and doubt and anxiety and worry, if there are things, it's almost as though you don't like to say it, but let me say it, you know, with you in that sense. It's almost as though God is provoking you. You're becoming angry because the flesh is hurting and you see no way out. And you want some things. You want some things, and yet somehow there's a frustration because it's not happening the way you want, the way you would like it, or in your timetable. All right, praise God. Let go of it. There's nothing in your strength. It's when that white flag, when you surrender, you're going to find that peace. You're still trying. What that means is there's pride, we're still saying, oh, I'm really going through these trials. But dear friends, we think we're going through a lot. We think we're really suffering. We think we're in pain. And yes, okay, that is there. I'm not belittling. It really is happening. But it's that anguish, it's that situation that causes us to panic. We think because we're not in control of it, we somehow think that God isn't in control. And I don't know how he does it, because it does hurt, it can hurt. But if we, at that point, can seek God's wisdom, can relax enough to remember that God is in control, and that the reason he's allowing that, it's directly related to what he has for us, that trial is as much a touch as the deliverance will be when we get it. He is getting to our faith. He is getting to our heart. He is provoking us because he's wanting to hear from us a cry of reality. He will not let us be religious sinners. Do you know what a religious sinner is? It's somebody who still sins, who basically, the sin is still there, but they're religious. And he is showing you and I, as hard as it can be at times, that we are his. We have had a genuine experience. We are living a changed life. We are saved. We are born again. We are new creations. And he's now teaching us to live in that new creation reality.
That's right.
We're no longer, you know, just, well, we're growing up. Mm. We're not just being religious. We're not hiding behind a religious thing.
Mm.
Now, there is a key that God wants to give us so that eventually, no matter how severe the trial, no matter how deep it's going, we will draw from God's strength. This is where he's bringing us. In everything he says, we're going to look at some scriptures now, but continuing with the Psalms, but other scriptures, the message is the same. That we cannot walk this walk in a legalistic, willpower way.
No.
We're going to have to learn somehow, in that trial, and even in situations where we're not going through trials particularly, but each day, each moment, each opportunity, each relationship, every situation, we're drawing on God's love. We're rooted and grounded in his love, drawing just like the tree does all the nutrients from the ground through that, through what God has put in that situation, in that tree, also through us. That being rooted and grounded in him, we draw from him each moment all that we need to live his life. We can't try and fix it in our own strength. We want a quick fix solution, an injection, a quick injection, a shortcut. That's why the world goes to what it goes to. Because people will die with what they're going through. So God in his mercy, I believe God in his mercy has allowed certain institutions and systems to keep people alive. But for the believer, he's drawing us out of that, and that is a process, that is a work. You know, the five wise, what did they say to the five foolish? I can't give you the all I've got, because there won't be enough for us. But go to them that sell. Mm. And so the implication there is, you can't get this faith overnight. It takes time. It takes a season of trials. It takes work. This is a lifetime's walk and a lifetime's work. Faith does not come overnight. It's a fruit that is produced through trials, through the working of the cross, but also through those wonderful healing, delivering touches from Almighty God. So that's why we don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly, because there's only one way that that will end. If you walk in the wrong path, it will lead to death.
Yeah.
It's walking in the counsel of the ungodly is walking on the wrong path.
Yes.
And we don't stand in the path of sinners. So we've gone from walking to standing, and then from standing to sitting. So it's more and more inertia. The movement slows down, goes from ungodly to sinners to scornful. So it's a downward progression. So what is the overcomer? Verse 2, his delight is in the law of the Lord. Friends, is that our delight? Is this our life? Is this where we're being fed? Is this what we're drawing our strength from? The Word of God. That means in his law he meditates day and night continually. This is our food. A prayer life, yes, but also meditating in scripture, meditating in the word. Allowing God's thoughts to become our thoughts. Thinking about what he has said. Allowing the Holy Spirit just to speak to us. To guide our thoughts. We're doing the thinking. But you know, the Holy Spirit is anointing our minds. He's guiding our thinking through his word. And what is the result of this? That we shall be like that tree planted by the rivers of water. Brings forth its fruit in its season. Leaf also shall not wither. Whatever we do shall prosper. So what is a tree planted by the river of water? We've just seen it. It's healthy. It's productive. It's fruitful. It grows. It brings forth fruit in its season. This is what God is looking for, that fruitfulness. The leaf shall not wither. That's health. That's divine health, healing and health. And whatever we do shall prosper. not just financially, but everything we do is anointed. Whatever work we turn our hands to, God will bless it because of that consecration, because of that separation. Praise God, there's a lot in this. Jeremiah 17 says much the same thing. Different ways of saying it, but it's the same wonderful message. Jeremiah 17, we'll start with verse 5. This has been so badly handled that it's resulted in condemnation. But let's look at it properly. Jeremiah 17, we'll start with verse 5. Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. He shall be like a shrub in the desert, and shall not see when good comes, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land which is not inhabited. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose hope is the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river, and will not fear when heat comes, but its leaf will be green, and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. Praise God. Glory to the living God. Now, somehow it's just been presented, if you go to the arm of flesh, you're under the curse. And so that's you can't grow in that. That's not, oh, praise the Lord. Let's look at this. Let's look at the context. Jeremiah was raised up to minister, to speak God in his faithfulness, raised up this man to speak to Judah. Judah was in the death throes of their apostasy. This was the last generation of Judah. They were about to be carried off to Babylon. They had continually committed idolatry, seeking the nations, disobeying God, rejecting the prophets. Prophet after prophet after prophet was rejected by these people. And they turned to the other nations for their counsel, for their wisdom, for their strength, for their support, instead of turning to God. Their heart had departed from the Lord. And this is what happened to them. They were like a shrub in the desert. They dried up. They shall not see when good comes, because they'd already started perishing. They inhabited the parched places in the wilderness. This is judgment. In a salt land which is not inhabited, it's impossible to grow on salt. You know, there are a few exceptions to that. If you go to some windswept places, there are some amazing thrifts, they call them, that grow. They just love the salt air. Yes. You know, it's amazing the differences. But there's obviously going to be some exceptions, aren't there? But generally what we're speaking about is these lush plantations that can't grow in salty conditions. Mm-hmm. It poisons the soil. It's not inhabited. But look at what God said. It's for those whose hearts have departed from the Lord. Friends, that can't be happening to any of us here. We love the Lord. Our hearts have not departed. Our flesh may have failed at times. Certain aspects of our walk may look like a disaster. It may be that all we have got is our faith at the moment. But that's not, don't let the devil get in there. Our hearts have not departed. Our hearts have not departed. Because now let's listen, this is what God is saying over us, I believe. This is why we're crying out for those touches. We know he loves us. We're rooted and grounded in his love. But there are things in our lives that should not be. And the reason we're asking for those glorious redemptive touches is because we agree with God. These things should not be in our lives, yeah. And there are things that are in our lives that shouldn't be.
Yeah.
And so because of our love for God, because he has not left us and neither have we left him, that's the very reason. And so blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. You and I are trusting in the Lord this evening because we're seeking him. We're looking to his word. We're crying out to him, whose hope, whose expectation is the Lord himself.
Jesus.
He shall be like a tree planted by the waters, the exact opposite of that wilderness. spreads out its roots by the river. Now here we go. And will not fear when heat comes. Let there be a trial. Let there be a drought. Let there be judgment all around. But my roots, your roots, are in the Lord. And we will draw our strength from him when that heat comes, when that trial comes.
Yes.
The leaf will be green. There's that health again, fat and flourishing. Not be anxious in the year of drought. Trials, judgment. Apparently things not manifesting. We will not be anxious because that drought won't be affecting us. There'll still be that supernatural provision, our roots grounded in him, that stability, that life, that healing, strength and power, deliverance, that whole redemptive life and power of the Lord Jesus Christ feeding us. We will not be anxious in a year of drought, nor cease from yielding fruit. Supernatural. Supernatural judgment and wilderness, death and condemnation all around us. But you and I, in the house of our God, we heard it recently, fat and flourishing. We will not cease. There's a promise. This is something we can lay hold of. We will not cease from yielding fruit. And what is that fruit for? So that others can come and taste. Where did you get this from? How did this happen? And it will impart life. That fruit will impart God's life to those who partake of it.
Yes.
Our witness, the way we treat them, that smile, if it's not on our face, it's coming through our eyes. Whatever. That fruit will impart God's life to those all around us. And they will come, not through what we are trying to do, not through trying to get some work started, but simply our roots set in him, partaking of his life, others being set free, being blessed by also.
Thank you.
It's wonderful, isn't it, how God has got it set up? Glory to the living God. God is making us fruitful. Matthew chapter 12. Now there is a solemn side to this, but God is in total control and he's working it. Matthew chapter 12, we'll start with verse 33. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad, because a tree is known by its fruit. Brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give an account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, by your words you will be condemned. Jesus is setting forth here a principle. This is what we mentioned, religious sinners. A religious person cannot make the tree good. You and I cannot make the tree good. You can't strive at bearing fruit and then call yourself a good tree because maybe through works it appears that the fruit is good. That's what the religious people were trying to do. They were concerned with the outward appearance, the outward form of a thing. Jesus is saying the only way we can make this tree good is by the new birth, new creation, that new life in him. And then as we yield to the life that comes from that vine, that comes from the tree, the fruit will be good because the tree's good. As we yield to him, he will bear his fruit, or rather he will produce that fruit, we'll bear it as the branches. And that includes our words. As God cleanses the heart, he cleanses our speech. He cleanses the mind. He cleanses the affection. We speak only those things that edify. And it doesn't matter what we speak about, whether it's our day at work, whether it's the latest technology, whether it's the car, whether it's whatever you're sharing, a recipe for a cake or something, anything we speak about. It's not done in a superior way, in a prideful way, in a derogatory way. it's all of it is just there, whether you're talking about something spiritual, talking in the Lord, whether you're counselling somebody, praying for somebody, any word that comes out of our mouth, 24/7 imparts life, imparts a blessing. You don't come over in a way that crushes the other person. I've known that for years. Can you imagine a babe in the Lord just come across a promise for the first time, full of the like a little spring lamb, springing about, jumping about, because they've just discovered for themselves for the first time a wonderful promise in God's word, and God's shown it to them. But you see, we've known it for 20, 30 years. Now, what do you do to that person? Oh, well, yeah, I've known that for 30 years. Big deal. It can come over, and that would crush that person.
Yes.
It would discourage them. It would prevent them, well, I'm not sure I want to share with that person anymore. Whatever I say, they're better than me. I don't know anymore. I better just keep quiet. Oh, dear friends, everything we say, if we love that person, if it's true, and I trust it is, that God's love is the motivating principle in our heart, everything we say will seek that person's good.
Yeah.
We will seek to serve by putting that person, God's love is selfless, we seek to serve by putting the interests of that person first. Not pandering to their flesh, but understanding where they are in the faith. We are to minister life, and we're only going to get the faith to not go to the arm of the flesh, to not seek the counsel of the ungodly. You know, if we fail, and it happens, that's not the end of the story. God is exposing, God is dealing with some things, and our place is not to judge, not to analyse why that happened, but Lord, how do I minister life in this? How do I minister your grace, your compassion, your love and mercy in this? Well, the first thing that comes to me is as I pray for that person, not try to put them right, Lord, I believe that in your mercy, you will bring them to a place of faith. I believe you will perfect their faith. I don't know what they're going through at the moment, but you do. Lord, whatever it takes, bring them through. You are the only one who can make us all, who can make any of us fruitful. We can work, we can strive, we can try, we can struggle, judge and criticize. No human being has to learn how to do that. But we cannot bear fruit except by your life within us. Fruit bearing is a whole other realm. We can only be fruitful in Christ, abiding in the vine, drawing from his strength, drawing from his life. That's the only way. Praise God. Now, how are we going to walk in such a way that we will be confident on the day of judgment? Because, dear friends, every single one of us will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. I'm talking about believers. The day of judgment of believers' works. Praise God, not our sins, but our works. We will all have to give an account of everything we said, the way we treated one another. It's horrible, it's awesome. There are things I'm not looking forward to. But God knows my heart in this. He knows your heart in this. But if you turn to 1 John chapter 4 and verse 17... There are some wonderful promises, in closing, that I want to encourage how we're going to overcome in our trials, how we're going to overcome, how we're going to stand before God on the day of judgment. Both standing, because remember we looked in Psalm 1, the ungodly, the sinners will not stand in judgment, but you and I will. Now how's this going to work? 1 John 4, start with verse 17, love has been perfected among us. Praise God. Love is being perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Here we go. How are we going to get that boldness in the day of judgment? Because as he is, so are we in this world. Beyond reproach, Christ-like. And it's God doing it. There is no fear in love, and that's our worst tormenting enemy, is the fear. There is no fear in love because love casts out fear. Fear involves torment. He who fears has not been made perfect in love. So we've got to deal with that fear. And that love casts out fear. So rooted and grounded in love and constantly bearing that fruit means, as we looked in the previous scriptures, God's love is rooting out, delivering us, setting us free from all fear. Mm. So that we can rest, we can relax in His presence. No matter what happens to us, we will not be anxious about the day of drought, about the heat that's coming, about those things all around us. Mm. Because we're drawing on His love. Mm. We're not concerned with what's happening. Not in an indifferent sense, but in the anxious. We're not anxious about it. The point about a fruitful tree with that fruit, with the leaf, is it provides food, it provides shelter. Mm. All the compassion of Christ, but in a position of strength, not an emotional compassion, but in coming from Him, His life, His grace, His power, ministering. When we love Him, we experience this because He first loved us. It's wonderful, isn't it? John 15. Some wonderful promises here. John chapter 15. We know this, don't we? Abiding in the vine. Glory, what a wonderful Saviour. And I want to start with verse 9. John 15, starting with verse 9. As the Father loved me, so I also have loved you. Abide in my love. There's that wonderful invitation to abide in His love. The same love that the Father had to Him. How are we going to do that? How do we do that? If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. Is Jesus asking something that's impossible? Well, let's continue to read. These things I've spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, in order that you love one another. Those are the things that will enable us to keep his commandments. These are the things that will enable us to abide. He's working in us. He's ordained us to bear that fruit. Everything he has ordained will come to pass. Whatever we ask the Father in his name, he will give us. He's commanded us to love one another. Now, where does love come from? From him. As we take up our cross daily, as we take up that cross each day and abide in him, that fruit will abound in our lives. We keep his commandments. John 14 and verse 21. He who has my commandment and keeps them, it is he who loves me. John 14, 21. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. I will love him and manifest myself to him. Do you want that revelation? Look, he said in verse 15, of John 15, verse 15, I don't call you servants anymore, because a servant doesn't, it's a need to know basis, isn't it? Just to follow instructions. But I'm calling you friends. Why that intimate relationship? Because what the Father has shown me, I've shown you, I've made known to you. Amen. Now, we have not because we ask not. We ask and receive. Why? Because we're asking amiss, that we may consume it on our own lusts, and God is setting us free from those lusts so that he can trust us with the things that we're asking for, Our asking is because God puts it on our hearts to ask.
Yes.
God is doing this, dear friends. He's putting his word in our heart so that we can keep his word. Mm. And in keeping his word, we will receive that great blessing. Wonderful, wonderful promises. But God has ordained that he's working by his Spirit. He's working these things within us. And finally, in closing, I want to come back to that because there's more detail. But I want to look at some promises in 1 Thessalonians 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 11 to 13. Another prayer of Paul. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way to you. And may the Lord make who? The Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another and to all, just as we do to you, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. Who's doing that? The Lord is establishing. The Lord is working in our hearts to make us blameless, to abound in love. Wonderful, isn't it? If we did just but yield. And again, one more. Bear with me in this. Because God has made full provision for everything he requires. Jude chapter 20. Jude 20. You, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Faith comes by the word, but faith is increased and strengthened by prayer in the Spirit. You want a strong faith? Pray in the Spirit. Keep yourselves in the love of God. There we are. Looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. On some have compassion, making a distinction. Others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. So there's that difference. You can have compassion on some, but others is more serious situation. And God shows us how to deal with that. Now unto him who is able to keep you from stumbling, to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Saviour, who alone is wise, be glory, majesty, dominion, power, both now and forever. Amen. Friends, whatever we have to encounter on the day of judgment, we are going to end up faultless before the presence of his glory, unblameable, unreprovable, unreproachable in his sight, established in holiness, taught how to love, taught these things that God requires of us, but not even in a technical sense, but God actually working them in and through us, so that the fruit that we bear abounds, praise God, to God's glory. I'm going to leave it there. There is a lot more I wanted to say, and that I'll return to it next week, God willing. But dear friends, it's God's work, a work of grace from beginning to end. Our part is faith. We just believe. The only thing God will accept from us as a work is faith. It's based on faith in the blood of Jesus, but faith in him as well, what he's doing, allowing the Spirit to work through us. Why was Cain rejected and Abel received? Because Abel offered a life for a life. Yeah. And that is our faith, that the life of Christ now in our place. And it's the life, the light, the love of Christ living, working, shining through us that God is working. Not our own effort, not our own strength, not our own ideas. Glory to the living God, isn't it? And that's what the Lord is working, that's what the Lord is teaching. But as we meditate, the reason we give these scriptures, dear friends, as you meditate, as you feed on his faithfulness, as you feed on that word, he is working that life, that Spirit within us. The word that we take into our spirits is the seed of the fruit that will be born. That fruit will be born, that fruit will feed for eternity. These are eternal things. And we're more and more, less and less we're going to miss, more and more we're going to get right, so that we can face, we can go into eternity, we can stand, well, fall before the Lord, but confidently knowing that the judgments are past. that those awful, horrible failures, those works that do not glorify God, the way we live, the things we have said that no longer that don't glorify God, those are a thing of the past. They're under the blood. We've had to let them go. But it will all come out in the wash. God will cleanse us. God will purge us. And he's just given us the means. He's showing us the means of being fruitful, but of being confident on the day of judgment.
Yes.
Of obtaining an eternal reward. Salvation plus. Not just scraping in by the skin of our teeth. The salvation that he's given us. But those glorious rewards. Speaking of a closeness to him. You know, he's gone to prepare a way for us. In his Father's house there are many mansions. And he's gone there to prepare a place for you and I, dear friends. And all he requires of us is that faith to believe that we will love one another. We love him, we love one another. That's his commandment. And that here, to sum it all up, we're aware that there's areas in our heart of fear, of unbelief, of pride, hard-heartedness, that we can't obey in our own strength. And those are the touches that we're crying out to God for. So that we walk, we relax, we rest, we enjoy him, we walk in his presence. So that obedience comes from the heart. The love in our heart for him influences the will. These are all different branches of the same tree, as we said. And that fruit will be born just walking in his presence. It's a relationship. It's not a Pharisee striving. Praise God. And we will be known for our love. We will be known that Jesus dwells in our midst. Because these people love. And that love is producing life and grace and peace. And it works by faith, not by feelings. It works by faith. But that faith, as we started to say, is never easy. There's no room for complacency in this. Even though God is doing it all, and yet he's working within us that faith, he has to touch us in those areas. But he will only touch us when we let him. Many ways in which God touches. Through trials, through the word, as we pray, and spending that time in prayer, his presence. We will see him stretching forth his hand to heal in this end time. But he works by his spirit, friends. Faith is never easy. It requires repentance, it requires a turning from hard-heartedness, from selfishness. We don't look inward, we look to him, we draw our strength from him, but the Spirit looks it within. It's the Spirit looks in our hearts. He's the one searching it out. He's the one exposing and cleansing and delivering and healing according to our faith in the blood of Jesus. Mm-hmm. Our friends, there's no place for condemnation, no place for complacency. Mm. Just a commitment, just a faithful, loving commitment to our God, to one another. Yes, you can look at me, you can look at others and think, goodness me, how things are wrong. You can look at it like that, or you can say, well, praise God, I'm going to believe the best for my brother. Love covers a multitude of sins. Dear friends, your love is covering a multitude of my sins, and I really appreciate that, because you're not criticizing, you're praying for me, and I'm so aware of that. I'm so aware of that. And whatever blessing God puts through me is a result. Yes, his faithfulness. Yes, it's him. It all comes from him. But his faithfulness is also seen in your commitment, your faithfulness in prayer. I'm a product, aren't we? Every single one of us is a product of God's love. And it's especially seen in our prayers one for another. We can tear it, you know, what takes a lifetime to build can be torn down in a minute or two. A few months ago, wasn't it, in Staten Island, it was just ripped into by a volcano. A few minutes. Well, that's a great analogy of criticism. God can build up for years, and then somebody comes along with a critical word, and it's all torn down. But because we're rooted and grounded in love, we can withstand, can't we? We can forgive until that person grows up and realises that they're in the same boat. So they're feeding off us for a while, but praise God, eventually they'll get the message because we're praying, we're believing, and they'll come through as well and start feeding instead of feeding on, they'll be the ones also, praise God, instead of them being fed, they're the ones feeding as well, you know what I mean? They're growing up, they're maturing, we're bearing with them. Friends, I'm so aware that I stand by grace, not by anything I've accomplished, but God in His grace, and part of that grace, that He's touched some hearts to pray for me. Praise God. And likewise, that's how we deal with one another. It's through the cross, it's through a selflessness, seeking that other's good. Feelings, very rarely, you know, they can be all wrong, can't they? They can change with the wind, they can change with the temperature. But as we're rooted and grounded in God's love, drawing from His strength, there's a consistency there. There's a constant seeking. I want that person's good. What is the best? I want the best for that person. And whatever they've said, however they're doing it, I choose to place the best possible interpretation on their word or actions. And if you can't, if you really can't, because it doesn't allow that, then love manifests as forgiveness. We forgive, and we believe. Continue to believe the best, continue to believe, without judging, that person is healed, is delivered, is set free. Oh, praise God. I don't know how He does it, but He does, and He's the only one who can. Praise God. Brethren, thank you. Your fellowship is most appreciated. Be encouraged by these things. God will prepare us. God will provide for all that He requires. And yes, He has to deal with some things because He's pure, He's holy, He's righteous. But in His love, He has ordained that He will perfect us. And we're going to enter in, praise God, blameless. Blameless before Him as He perfects these things within us.
Yes.
There is that balance. The day of judgment is an awesome thing, but He's also promised that when that fire falls, we'll be saved and we'll stand faultless before Him, faultless in the presence of His glory, unblameable in holiness, unreprovable in His sight. Praise God. Why? Why are we going to have that boldness? Because as He is, so are we in this world. And that's the goal. Not to say how brilliant we are, not to say look at my knowledge, not to say look at how many hours I've spent studying, but to be truly Christ-like. As He is, so are we in this world, and He is the one doing it as we yield to Him. Well, praise God, a lot to think about, but Jesus wouldn't require it of us, Jesus wouldn't tell us if it wasn't possible by His grace. He's offering that to us. You know, it's not just a command, He's actually offering that's what He's working in us as we believe. And so that's why I believe the challenge has gone forth in this season, to cry out to Him for those touches that we need, that healing, that deliverance, that inner working of the Spirit, that change of heart, so that we can experience these things. God bless you, brethren. How He loves us. How He loves us. Remember the value that He's placed on your soul, on your life. Well, look at the price He paid for it. That's His value over your life.
Thank you, Jesus.
The price He paid for it. And that's what we're rooted in. That it's that love that we're rooted and grounded. Praise God in His love. God bless you, brethren.
Jesus is